now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flips.
PodAwful.
Net.
Net.
Are you receiving me?
Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one heroin podcast in all of the Middle Ages. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorman, Cumulus Frizzman. How are you, Frizzman?
I'm fine, Parker Bowfly. I'm trying to give you a nickname, too.
Nice.
So instead of Blowfly, I called you Bowfly. And also, I'm going to explain my nicknames to a high degree since I forgot where all mine came from. And I want to make sure that you remember yours. So, yeah, Blowfly is a prolific songwriter and dirty old man right now. But, yeah, he's done a lot of great music. So, yeah, Parker Bowfly.
I'm into it.
Cool. I'm into it, too. How have you been? You sound like you have a deeper voice. Are you being more sexy, or what's happening?
I went through puberty since the last episode.
Nice.
Finally, I got hairy balls, Mr. Frisbee. You wouldn't believe the hair.
Is it like a forest down there?
It's insane. It's like a patch of cabbage.
That must be a nightmare for you. You hate cabbage. You hate sauerkraut.
Yeah, it smells terrible. I don't care.
It probably smells like sauerkraut.
Yeah, it's awful, but I will be putting it on a sandwich. So, look forward to that.
It's a taste test challenge.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your Jimmy John's.
Talk about your Brock Lesnar's. Your Jimmy John's trunks.
Brock Lesnar loves Jimmy John's.
I guess. I mean, I can't imagine a guy who does that many steroids being into any kind of food. Like, I love food. He's more focused on body. But he doesn't even love the fuck out of Jimmy John's. I'm kind of surprised he doesn't have a tattoo of it yet, like on the back of his thick, long neck.
He's like a brachiosaur.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yes. I don't know what era they're from. Paleolithic?
Could be.
He's a dinosaur, though. He's a dinosaur among men.
That's true. I don't see why you have to go around throwing accusations around that he's on steroids, though, Mr. Frisbee. I've seen pictures of you on Facebook. You've got that one big beefy arm, you know, people in glass houses, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, well, I'm very comfortable talking about my steroid addiction. And I'm very proud of the fact that I've restricted it to just one arm.
And that huge beard.
Yeah, and the beard too. But that was like other hormones.
Oh, okay.
I had to counteract it because, you know, steroids, you know, you just get pimples and shit. You don't quite get as much facial hair. So I had to take hormones for the facial hair.
That sounds good. It's a good trade-off.
It was great. It's a great time in my life, and I'm glad that that picture exists.
Me too. Speaking of things that I'm glad exist, I was watching a show on H2, the History Channel Part 2.
Yeah.
And there's this show about, like, you know how, like, they have all those ancient aliens shows and stuff? Well, they have a new show called, like, Ancient Drugs or whatever, and it's hosted by Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And it's, like, all, like, Joe Rogan-y stuff, you know, like, stuff about how, like, the very first man alive, like, ate some mushrooms, and then he was like, oh, I need to create civilization now. Like, it's all thanks to these mushrooms. And it's like,
I thought that the mention of like the show, it would be hosted by Joe Rogan and it would only be about like mushrooms and also shroom tech, like man's first encounter in shroom tech.
Yeah. But if it was hosted by Joe Rogan, it would rather than being like an entire show, it would just be like the same 15 minutes of show over and over, because that's all he does. And then it would just be like a lot of footage of him and his friends watching videos that the audience can't see.
And it would be insanely popular, hence why it's on H2.
Mm-hmm.
History Part 2.
History.
Is this like MTV2, where it shows like it showed history for the first couple months, and then it just stopped and started showing the same bullshit that History Channel is showing, like ice truckers, hillbillies?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They're showing a lot of Singled Out reruns.
Ah, great. More Hardwick. That's what we need.
But yeah, so they were talking about this dude who worked for the East India Trading Company, you know? These dudes mm-hmm. who, like, from Britain, who wore, like, those big foofy, you know, wigs. And they would go to other places and steal their plants. And this guy went to, like, Indonesia or somewhere. And the Indonesian people put him in a zoo for 19 years. And I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's how British people should be. I think they should be taken out of their natural habitat, put into zoos. And I think that's how we should enjoy them, you know? Like, don't let them live their lives anymore. Just, they're like a relic of the past, you know, of a long forgotten civilization. Just put them in zoos. And, you know,
I think that would, well, I mean, that'd be kind of like going into ancient temple burial grounds and extracting mummies and sarcophagi and all the jewels and riches from them. And then just like parading those around the museums. Like, what kind of person would want to do that?
The guy from The Mummy, Brendan Fraser, he would want to do that.
I was going for British people. British people originally did that, but yeah. Brendan Fraser also. True. The Encino Man, mm-hmm. he would do that.
That's true. Yeah, it's jerk. If you're going to put people in zoos, you're a jerk. If you're going to steal the jewels of the pharaohs, you're also a jerk.
Yeah, that shit's for pharaohs, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted hands off.
They wanted to go to heaven with that shit. I wonder what happens. Like, they got buried with all that shit because they wanted to go to heaven with it. But it's like, if somebody enters the tomb and then takes it, does it, like, just leave heaven magically? Is it like in Inception where, like, if you, you know, in real life, you're, like, sleeping, thinking about peeing, and then in the Inception world, it starts raining? Is it like that?
Oh, don't even start. That terrifies me. I don't want to think about peeing while I'm asleep. Like, that's one of my number one fears, man.
It's the scariest shit in the world. I was talking about this, I think, on Junk Food Diner a couple weeks ago. But I had a dream a couple weeks ago that I was peeing. And that usually means that you're peeing.
Yes.
But I woke up and I was good. I was dry. It was the greatest day of my life.
I'm happy for you. Thank you. Proud of him, folks. I'm proud of my friend. I can't, like, I can't fathom the idea of, just like, yeah. Like, that event where I fell asleep on a plane and I was so exhausted last year, actually, during the last Podcat Bro Underground meetup spectacular in Los Angeles, I fell asleep next to a lovely young woman. I apparently fell asleep on her because of the way that the chair was set up when I woke up, and I was just terrified because I thought I might have pissed myself. And yeah, I didn't have dreams about raining. I didn't dream at all, which, you know, is sad, but yeah, at least that didn't happen. I don't know why it's such like a big fear. Like, I guess in the long run, it doesn't matter. Like, especially if you want to be like a slumming it in your 30s type of dude. Shouldn't care, right? But mm-hmm. I care a lot. So that's the one thing I care about. So, and now all my enemies know, because I just described it on the internet again for the third time.
They're going to try to get you to pee on an airplane now.
Yeah.
Don't ever take an airplane trip with Shelby Cobras. You're going to try so hard to make you pee.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be like an 80s slapstick comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make Frisbee pee in his sleep.
He's going to be a new Stifler. Stifler, yeah, Cobras. Probably. That's what they call him.
Stifler Cobras. Stiff Cobras for short.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely sexual.
But going back to this guy who was in a zoo.
On display.
They displayed him. He was their token white person. You know, people, you know, they hadn't seen white people, so they wanted to see him, and so they put him in a zoo. You know, I think a lot of cultures have done this throughout the ages, even though it's, like, really weird. But I like the idea of doing it with British people. As I said, they're very irrelevant. just like how emus and lions are irrelevant. So we put them in zoos. And
they're irrelevant.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we actually have now a British person in our zoo here. I installed a cage in here in the studios, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, for the pool party zoo?
For the pool party zoo.
Yeah, should be explained to listeners. Pool Party Radio used to be Pool Party Magazine, but because we're multi-conglomerates, we have Pool Party Zoo, Pool Party Shampoos, Pool Party Soap on a Rope, Pool Party Television was a thing for like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much stuff. So we have Pool Party Zoo, too.
We got Pool Party Zoo. So in addition to my cat Snarf, my dog Keppy, we've got a British guy. And, you know, since it's the big grand opening, there's like a big audience here, too. So I think I would like to introduce you to this British guy we have in the zoo, Mr. Frisbee. Would you like to meet this guy?
Yeah, of course.
Hello.
Hello.
He said he's very shy, I think.
Okay.
Why don't you ask him his name, Mr. Frisbee?
Oh, well, yeah. What's your name?
Bings.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say it again?
Biggs.
Oh, he's got a creepy laugh in a studio audience. Or is that our audience?
Yeah, that's our audience. They're here for the big grand opening.
Great. Biggs, how's it going? What's the place like?
I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, yeah. I get that. Sorry you're late. He's very apologetic for a British guy. He just had forgone all my questioning and said he was sorry for being late. What happened? Where were you? All right. He is definitely British because he's absurdist. Yep.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. I do want to, before we get him out of here because he sucks so bad, I do want to ask him one thing. What would you like your relationship with Mr. Frisbee to be like? You know, how do you see Mr. Frisbee in relation to you?
My flexible friend.
All right. That's good. That's all I wanted.
Sexual friend?
His flexible friend.
Oh, a flexible friend. Mm-hmm. All right.
And here's your party hat.
All right. Party hats for everybody. Get the hell out of here, Mr. Bean. That's stupid. So, yeah. Let's put all the British people in zoos. Fuck them. Why
right
not?
On.
Why not? All right, let's make a note of that. Let's make a note of this worst segment we've ever done in 200 episodes.
Noted. We have this. Well, you know, I live in Little Rock, and not a lot happens here. Not a lot comes through because it's in the middle of the state, and it's like 3 hours to get to. Well, 2 hours to get to Memphis, and then 8 hours to get to Austin, or 5 hours to Dallas, whatever. Anyway, it's kind of stranded. But there is a zoo. And the zoo is kind of the hub where shit happens. So there's like Brew at the zoo, where you can get drunk looking at animals.
Nice.
And now there's Boo at the zoo, where you can eat candy and look at animals, I guess. And dress up as like the animals to sort of mock them. Like, hey, look at me. I'm a monkey. Just like you, monkey. Except I'm free to do whatever I want. And not in a cage. So yeah.
But then the camera pulls back, and then it's revealed that he is also in a cage put there by society's oppressive rules.
And then Smashing Pumpkins plays it out. Yeah.
And we're left to wonder who the real animals are.
Exactly. And it becomes clear when Billy Corgan reaches the chorus of "I'm still just a rat in a cage," and then the audience is left scrubbing their chins. Or they're just shuffling out like so much cattle from a movie theater to get home and stay there in another cage.
Yeah, that's what happens. The camera zooms back again to reveal that the people in the audience are actually cattle being led to the slaughter.
Yeah. And then it zooms back again to show that this is also a film that's being watched by another audience who are all in individual cages, like literal cages. It's because they're being forced to watch the movie. They have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the movie is just zoom cuts where you think it's going to end, like, and credits start to roll. But then it just keeps playing despite all my rage. I'm still just a rat in a cage.
I think we just wrote your horror movie, Mr. Frisbee. I think it's done.
I think it's final. Yeah. Yeah, I should make clear that I'm writing a horror film for a film competition. I did the 48-hour film competition with some friends here a couple months ago, and I'm doing it again for a horror film contest. And it's a 30-day contest that takes place in Florida over the course of this month of October, the spookiest month. Mm-hmm. But the films are screened like in early November, so the purpose is kind of defeated. I think this is something they meant to do like a month earlier, but it just kind of got muddled.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Well, a lot of the spoopiness will be done by November.
Right? People are going to be hungry by then. They want to eat turkey or some bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone will be wearing scarves by then. They'll have no time for wearing skull masks.
Yeah. Although I think there's always time to be wearing skull masks.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's already pretty spooky and creepy here. Like, yeah. How's the spoopiness and creepiness where you are?
It's pretty good. As a matter of fact, the camera's zooming out right now to reveal that we're both wearing skull masks.
Are we in cages or just wearing skull masks?
Well, it pans out again to reveal that the people listening are in the cages.
That's cool.
And it, you know, you leave wondering who are the real podcasters in that situation, you know?
I guess.
That can be the name of your horror movie. Who are the real podcasters?
Oh, I thought you were saying that the real name of it could be I Guess, followed by like an ellipses.
Yeah. It could be that too.
And the logo for it will just be like a giant turd with flies on it. It'll be an emoji turd.
Yeah.
With eyes and a big smiling mouth.
That sounds pretty good. If you did that, though, if you made a movie called I Guess and then the logo is a turd, you'd definitely be ripping off the Soska sisters, though, because that seems to be the amount of care they put into their movies.
Just, oh, dear.
Shrugging. I guess. I don't know. I guess the ending of this movie can be that our main character is killed by a character that was not introduced in the previous 90 minutes. Why not? It's good writing.
Yeah.
Campbellian. Why? Yeah, let's do it.
Would you call that slice of life? Like, well, that's life. Sometimes somebody comes out of the blue and murders you.
I guess so.
There you go. That's the name of the movie, I guess.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, we're back.
Back at it.
And I haven't seen much scary stuff. I've just been watching video game trailers for like Silent Hills or Silent Hill 5, depending on how you phrase it, which is going to be coming out next year. That's fucking terrifying. I think that might be the scariest shit I've seen all year. I talked about that a couple episodes ago. But then I also watched the trailer for Alien Isolation. That's also pretty creepy. But as far as movies go, I don't think I've seen anything creepy. We just heard from a friend of ours and a podcast bro who went to a haunted trail. That's pretty creepy. That's like, he's really, you know, on the cusp of a very spoopy month if he's already done like a haunted trail.
Mm-hmm. Haunted trails are spoopy. I don't think that there's anything like that around here, like haunted houses, haunted trails. In Ohio, you can't walk a block without finding a haunted house. But here, not so much. Maybe because they don't have fall time. It's like just like summer turns into mild summer.
That bums the shit out of me. And that's kind of like what it is here. I know we talked about this before where we were recalling, like, when you got to review haunted trails. Like, there were mm-hmm. so fucking many in the Dayton area. Dayton, again, like another city that doesn't have, like, a ton of shit going on. But there's so many around there that you could review them and compare and contrast them. So it's like you got to do that as a writing assignment for the city paper there. And, yeah, I don't know if there's anything like that around here. I know you have to, like, drive a couple miles out to find places like that, but I don't know. There's probably like some religious haunted trails or something that I'm unaware of.
Have you
ever been to one of those?
Yeah, I went to one of those for that story.
And oh, really?
Yeah, I'll try to dig up the story. Maybe I'll put it on the blog or something if I can find where it's at. But yeah, I went to one of those. It was really awesome. It was maybe my favorite one because, I mean, it wasn't like you hear stories about those where it's like a lady having an abortion and they're like, help me, I'm having an abortion, you know, or whatever it is. are like, help me, I'm listening to Marilyn Manson, I need your help,
And yeah, it's like a chick tract or something brought to life, and it's just as lame.
Yeah, and then like Marilyn Manson pops up, and he's dressed like Papa Shango or whatever. but it was like way more laid back, and it like told a story. It was in Fairborn, which is where Wright Patt Air Force Base is, which is like the biggest Air Force base in America. It's where they got aliens. Hangar 50, or was it Hangar 18 is there.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal. Like growing up, I don't know if you ever got this, but growing up, like, teachers would always instill in you the fear that, like, all my teachers growing up would say, if we're ever attacked with nuclear weapons, they're going to attack Wright Patt first, and we're all going to die. So it's like, I don't know, it kind of got instilled in me that that's a scary place and, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was right next to that. So, like, the whole, and it was, this was right after, or a couple years after 9/11. So the whole thing was just about how evil Muslims are going to put a dirty bomb in Wright Patt. And then so all the rooms, or like the first half of the rooms were like normal people, like in rocking chairs knitting, and then looking out their window and going, I'm dying of dirty bomb radiation, and then like falling over. And then the last half was the terrorists and the good people in heaven, like trying to, like talking to like skull mans and grim reapers trying to get into heaven and all this like rigmarole. It was pretty intense.
Was there any, like, Fallout sort of stuff? Like, did the Brotherhood of Steel show up or anything?
No, it didn't get that crazy. I wish it would have. And then the big hurrah is they go, okay, now that we're done with the haunted house, here's the haunted hayride part. So you get on this hayride, and, like, there's no scary parts in this hayride. Like, you know, normal haunted hayrides have, like, you know, Leatherface popping out every once in a while. But this one just drove you like half a mile to like a little building, like a little shack, where they gave you orange drink and just preached for like an hour. So that was like the worst part.
It sounds like a haunted hayride to me.
Yeah, they really tricked you with that last part.
Trick or treat. They took that shit seriously. Mm-hmm. They gave you a trick of making a haunted hayride that wasn't literally haunted and ended up with a preaching event. And then they also gave you orange drink, which is another filthy trick. That's like the worst of all drinks.
Yeah, man, how are you going to give me all that high fructose corn syrup, dog?
Yeah.
Makes me mad. Don't give me no high fructose corn syrup.
Trick or trick, they'll teach you.
You're going to give me diabetes here, Reverend. Reverend Diabetes.
Reverend Diabetes is a paragon of hope for all of us.
He's also my luchador name.
Reverend Diabetes. I would like to see you in that luchador getup because I'm just having these visions of your beard popping out from underneath the mask. Like, probably like your pubic hair when you're wearing 80s cycling shorts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or jogging shorts, yeah.
The pubic hair just pops out of the bottom of your pants, like in the peanut butter solution.
Yeah, which wasn't creepy at all.
For kids,
for like an 8-year-old. Yeah, Peanut Butter Solutions going way back. That was the last time that we watched a film together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For Junk Food Dinner. But as it turns out, we'll be doing that again here in a couple of weeks. Fuck, man. Yeah, it's October already. So end of October, we're doing the Spectacular Podcast Bro Meetup in Los Angeles. And as far as I'm aware, there's going to be another live Junk Food Dinner recording. Probably the second in your guys' history?
Actually, the first. We got together that one time for that big party.
Oh, but we recorded later.
Yeah, we all watched the movies together, but then we recorded them later. But yeah, so yeah, it's going to be good. You're going to be on that episode. We're going to be talking about the Halloween movies. I'm very excited to do.
I'm excited, too.
To do a live podcast with those bros.
And it's going to be like all of the late, like these are the autumn years of Halloween films. So you have like the great film of Halloween, and then you have its old senility age of creating like H2O, and what else is there? The Halloween remake?
Yeah, and Resurrection. It's going to be a crummy time. I'm glad we get to talk about shitty movies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm glad that we're going to be like in physical good company, because we'll probably need to hug each other after this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. These movies are shitty.
Rob Zombie ruined everything.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's going to be sad. But it'll be a lot of fun, too. And you and I are going to record Pool Party Radio, maybe with special guests. since we're going to be in such good company then. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other folks are coming down too. It sounds like we might get visits from the Elcon dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more, as I just found out yesterday.
Maybe even so, little Kepi will be there.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be sweet.
Mm-hmm. He'll probably not be there, though.
All right.
I lied right to your face. I tricked you. I deceived you.
Yep. It was all a trick. You deceived me. Mm-hmm. So let's fucking move on then. I guess one thing I should mention about, like, downloading and whatnot. This is not a good transition, but I wanted to bring up that we have a iTunes review, and this is not a trick. I'm not deceiving you. We have an iTunes review, even though we've been discouraging people not to leave them.
Not only to not leave them, but to just uninstall iTunes altogether. And also, also to go to Steve Jobs's grave, pee on it.
The reason being is that iTunes podcast sections, when you go to iTunes Store and you look up your favorite podcast, you'll notice that they have like details, ratings, and reviews, and now they have related instead of whatever they had last time. And whatever they had last time would be like more by the podcaster in question, plus a huge section listing what listeners also subscribe to. Well, for whatever reason, they got rid of listeners also subscribe to and just replaced it with top podcasters in comedy. But as I'm looking at now, listeners also subscribe to is back, but it's significantly smaller. We used to have like awesome podcast bros up there next to our shining logo of a drowning boy. and it would be like junk food dinner. It'd be like as a pop cult, rotten rantings. What else? What else was there?
Ill cans.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight Drive was on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I Might Be Wrong, which is one of my favorite podcasts. Listen to I Might Be Wrong. There were a few other ones. You know, some other guys up there.
Yeah, and they just disappeared. So it was a big fuck you to small podcasters like ourselves. Not saying that we're small physically or genitally, but we had like a nice following with these other podcast bros, and we thought it was nice to express that visually. So you'd be like, oh, I like this. So what else can I listen to that's like this while I'm waiting for the next episode to download? And you had options. Now it's just like, Mark Maron, Welcome to Night Vale, Podcast Nerdist. Yeah, those, we get that. That's on the splash page, you fucking jerks. So give me something I haven't seen. And they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a review, and we do appreciate the reviews. We do want those and all that good stuff, because it looks like they're bringing related back, even though it's only one right now. It's junk food dinner, and still kind of a bummer. So yeah, do whatever you gotta do. Pee on graves. I don't know. It might help. But our review this week is from Omar XFD. So Omar's coming with a review.
Nice. Omar from The Wire.
I think so. Says, this is a good podcast. Gives us 5 stars. Thank you for that. Nice. And his review consists of, feel real good about it.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. I respect that.
This review was helpful to me.
Yeah, I'm also going to click that it was helpful.
Yes.
Well, cool. Thank you, Omar from The Wire. You know, mm-hmm. Stay away from that McNulty. He's bad news.
Yeah, McNulty, he means well, but it's going to fuck you up in the end. Mm-hmm. Also, stay out of bodegas. You don't need those cigarettes. It's just going to be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That's all I know about The Wire. McNulty's bad news, and there's a guy named Omar. I've only watched 2 episodes.
Oh, McNulty's good. McNulty's good news.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he turned bad. I don't know. Spoilers. We're spoiling The Wire. No, spoiling a show I haven't seen, so I don't really know if that's correct or not.
No, McNulty's like, he's cool as shit.
All right.
He means well. All right, it's the higher ups, like the way higher ups. Like the old white politicians and police chiefs. They're the ones who are shitheads.
Is it the guy from the Old Boy remake? Is he a shithead?
Well, probably, just by virtue of what you just said.
In real life, he's a shithead.
IRL shithead. But no, it's like the old gasping for breath. Like, oh, I don't like black peoples in my police forces, guys in The Wire.
It's 2008 when they did that show.
Yeah, these people are old as shit, though. And it's not even the South. This is like Baltimore.
My God. I think Maryland's technically the South, right? Maybe it's not.
I mean, America is technically the South. Like, we're very, very far behind all this shit. That's so, true. Yeah. By South, I mean, like, yeah, pre-Civil War. Oh, no. Yeah, just now, I guess. Like, you can't really say this stuff without thinking, like, oh, Ferguson, though. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're just out there killing, shooting in the face.
Yep.
Let's do that good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is a segment we've been doing since day one on the show, although we don't do it that often anymore. We take some topic. That topic may be cats or refrigerators or whatever have you. And we list good examples, bad examples, and ugly examples. And this week, as a tie-in to what's going on Junk Food Dinner this week, where we just did the Howling movies, three Howling movies, I figured we could do good, the bad, and the ugly of werewolves. And not werewolf movies, just individual werewolves. So... I think we're good to go. You ready to go on this, Mr. Frisbee? You ready to roll?
Yeah. Is your microwave done cooking?
That was the coffee machine.
Oh, okay. Is your coffee done cooking?
Coffee's done cooking now.
That's good.
I'm not very professional. You know, we just got beeps and boops. In the actually, no, that was not a coffee machine at all. That was Reggie Watts making beeps and boops.
Sounds like Reggie Watts then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so would you like to go first?
I will go first. I, for my good werewolf, have Quist from the original Howling. I think his name is Eddie Quist. He's so cool that I named my werewolf character in Warcraft after him. So that's where I'm at with him. That's how much I like him. He's cool because he's a werewolf by night. But during the day, he's also a serial killer, and I think that's really rad, because werewolf movies, 99% of them, tend to be like dudes who are cursed, like, oh, I'm a werewolf, but during the day, I'm gonna have to try to, you know, not be a werewolf and live a normal life, I don't want to hurt people. And this guy's like, ah, fuck it, I'll just be a serial killer, why not, I'm already a werewolf, kill two birds, kind of a thing.
Or was he a serial killer before? Like, it's never really explored, is it?
No.
But, yeah, he takes, like, a violent lifestyle... and pairs it with a IRL violent lifestyle.
Yeah, I think maybe he's a serial killer first in the book. The book is like definitely all about him. The movie, he's like just kind of there for a second, and then it's over. Which is the big downfall of that movie, I think. But I want to read those books. But yeah, so also the second best werewolf transformation I've ever seen in a movie. So that's pretty good. Good for him. And he lives in Northern California, which is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, seems like a beautiful countryside.
Seems like. Do you think that's the case, though?
I don't know. I've never
been
there.
You're almost there. You're like midway.
Yeah. I don't know. I should try that one day. The farthest up I've been is San Francisco.
Also, werewolves might be there.
Yeah, werewolves. They got big feetsmen up there. They got dudes trying to secede from the Union up there. It's a wild place. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Well, that's not my Wild West.
Yeah, well, not from the whole Union. There's like the top 80% of the state is like the dudes who are really into like forming their own state. They're wild up there. They're living hard. They're living rough.
Are they just kind of isolated from everybody?
Yeah. Also, they want to smoke that weeds.
They don't?
They do. They do want to smoke that weeds. They don't want they don't want whoever getting in their way.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Like, I know we're just not coming upon like another election cycle, but it seems like Colorado, Washington, there's places that are decriminalizing and making adjustments so you can just sell weed. Where's California on this? Like, it seems you need like a badge or an ID or to sign a form saying like, hey, it's cool if I do this.
Yeah, it's like in the big...
This isn't werewolf related, but still, I was curious.
I don't know too much about it. I think it's like real easy to get the card if you're in one of the big cities, But, you know, I work at a newspaper, and a large amount of our stories are, like, cops busting farmers who are also growing weed. So it's, like, real frowned upon if you're not in one of the big cities, I think. I think that it'll probably be a long time before it's actually legal here because, like, 90% of how the state pays for itself is, like, busting drug dealers and shit. So who knows? It's a big thing. It's a big complicated mess out here. You're supposed to be smoking weed. You're allowed to. But also, if you grow weed, you go to jail. It's fucking stupid. The state's stupid.
Yeah, just trying to shut down means production. It's strange. Anyway, I like your pick. I actually had this as one of my goods because, yeah, I think that transformation sequence alone is fucking awesome. And he's probably the most convincing lycanthrope in werewolf cinema. Because, like, werewolves tends to be taken very literally. It's like, oh, he is a wolf, though. When I think it's supposed to be kind of like a skinwalker or something. Like, that's kind of where I think we derive this stuff from, where it looks kind of human, but also kind of has, like, hair and all over its body and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Eddie from The Howling, like, that sequence in the filing room is just so fucking creepy and terrifying.
Man, it's so good.
Great effects, very creepy. Rest of the movie, like, kind of okay. Comes almost like Porky's at that one point where that girl's trying to have sex with that hunk, and they end up, like, doing it by a beach fire. That's kind of weird, and kind of it's duller than it is sexy in a weird way. But yeah, it all kind of comes to a head, like, in that last 30 minutes. Eddie's cool. Eddie's a cool pick. Creepy dude leaves happy face stickers whenever he kills somebody as a calling card, and that's really creepy.
Yeah. Tries to kill them in porno booths.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
porno booths is a weird, like, common thread, and also what? Sorry?
Oh, no, continue, please.
Oh, like, porno booths is kind of a weird thread with some 80s werewolf cinema that I'm going to touch upon here for my good. But what were you going to say?
I was going to ask you what your good is, so.
Oh, we're perfectly American Werewolf in London. I know it's kind of an obvious choice, but very, very groovy one. I thought you were actually pick this one because the werewolves kill Londoners, British people, and I'm surprised you didn't.
I do like this.
And I think the transformation in this one is, like, this and the Howling transformation sequences going to go hand in hand. They're both very scary. They look extremely painful. It's very surreal to watch because it's done so well. And our protagonist, David, becomes a werewolf in merry old England and goes to Piccadilly Circus and starts killing people. But he looks more like a werewolf than a lycanthrope in this. So it's my backup pick for good. Originally, I would have picked The Howling.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
What I was going to say earlier is that he keeps seeing his deceased friend who was killed outright by the werewolf, his friend Jack. He gets visions of him, hallucinates him in different areas, or he's actually seen as ghosts, depending on how you look at it. And at one point, Jack is staying outside a adult theater, a porno theater in Piccadilly Circus. So kind of like Eddie at the beginning of Howling, he's like, meet me at this porno theater. Jack sees his friend, or excuse me, David sees Jack, his dead friend, outside of a porno theater. So it's a weird thing about werewolf movies in the 80s. It's like, well, make sure we get a porno theater in there, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I think those movies have a good many similarities. I think there's, like, some beef and drama between those two movies, because the guy who was supposed to do the werewolf effects for The Howling, like, it took so long to get The Howling made that he was like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to go do American Werewolf. And so the American Werewolf transformation was supposed to be in The Howling, which I think is why The Howling's looks so similar.
Yeah.
And also the porn theater. So yeah, I think there's, like, beef and drama. I think those guys were competing to be the best werewolf movie and, like, knew about each other's whereabouts and stuff.
Why do you think the porno theater was a thread between the two, though? Because I think that's kind of odd.
I don't know. It, like, really, it's got nothing to do with anything in either one of those.
Like, are you going for, like, sorry?
It doesn't really play into the plot. I guess it's just creepy.
I guess, like, I would think that they're trying to say something like it's primal, like, you know, fucking is primal, but I don't know. It's also just kind of, like, sad and creepy. Like, now I'm not going to be able to walk down Fifth Street in Dayton whenever I visit to not see a ghost or a werewolf serial killer outside of those many, many porno booths.
Yeah, I bet there's werewolf serial killers in there.
Dayton is home to many werewolf serial killers. That's what I'm learning today.
That's true. And like half of the band Guided by Voices has been made up of werewolf serial killers. It's a little known fact, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. That must be why they disbanded. You know, they're not a band anymore.
Yeah. Again, they broke up mid-tour. It's very professional.
Again. Yeah. Yeah, they're probably too busy murdering people.
Mm-hmm. I like this werewolf. I prefer bipedal werewolves, so this is not my favorite. But I think as far as wolf-looking werewolves, this is the best one.
Yeah, and if we end up going to that Universal Studios Haunted Hollywood Horror Nights thing, they've got a maze based on this. And I know that very wolf-looking werewolf is probably still going to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
It's very scary. Joe Rogan has a real-life full-size replica of this in his studio, which is, like, the coolest shit in the world. Like, if you're going to be, like, a rich, like, pretty rich, pretty famous dude like Joe Rogan, like, that's definitely, like, some shit you have to buy. Like, if I'm ever, you know, like, when this show takes off, Mr. Frisbee, and we get that podcast money, like Joe Rogan, when iTunes decides to put us on the fucking list for people to listen to, that's going to be some shit I buy. Is a fucking werewolf to just put in my house.
I love it. Does he have, like, a giant fanny pack around the werewolf's waist?
He does. Of course he does.
Nice.
And it's also got shroom tech hanging around the neck.
Well, I mean, you don't get that kind of size and powerfulness without eating some bullshit garbage like that.
That's true. And instead of werewolf hands, it actually just has kettlebells shaped like monkeys.
Sounds good. What's your bad pick?
My bad pick is probably a very obvious one, but it's Jacob from Twilight.
Okay.
I've seen all these movies, sadly enough.
You've all the movies, really?
I've seen them all.
Okay.
I got very curious.
I did not know this.
I had to see them. And I also read the first half of the first book because I had two friends, both English majors, who told me the books were amazing and I had to read them. And that's why nobody should ever go to college.
Well,
ever in a million years.
You should not be talking to those English majors anymore. I mean, what's their story? Like, do they want to be screenwriters or something? Because that just sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I don't know what they wanted to do, but man, they were telling me about how good that fucking book is, and it's not.
Ooh. Did they finish college?
I don't know. I don't think so, actually.
Well, I think that also should tell you something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Jacob, this is the epitome of just being, like, I don't like werewolves that are just wolves. Like I sort of just said a few minutes ago, like, I don't really like the four-legged ones. I like the bipedal ones. And this is the epitome of that. It's just a wolf, but big and telepathic. It can talk with its mind to other werewolves, which is fucking stupid.
What?
Yeah. And also, it's a little bit racist because all the Native American people in Twilight have weird powers that turns them into werewolves, which is not cool.
Oh, do they all say, like, a nuckchuck? And then they become, like, giant werewolves.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's another real racist part in those movies where the vampire has sex with Bella, and then she immediately gets pregnant, and she's, like, all sick the next day. And then so he pulls in a cleaning lady at the hotel that they're at, and he's like, her people have, her tribe has, you know, stories about what this might be. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're pregnant with the vampire baby. It's good. Like, all this stuff. And she's just a cleaning lady. So anyway, what do you expect from a Mormon, writer, I guess, but, Jacob's
I don't think you're giving Native Americans much credit though. Like maybe there is this inherent knowledge about vampire pregnancies that isn't lucrative. I mean, you're still gonna have to work some shit jobs as like cleaning ladies or, you know, cleaning staff. But, yeah, you still have all these, you know, like oral traditions about bullshit vampire babies.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know this, but the Redskins actually changed their name to the Redskins to be less offensive. Their original name was Cleaning Lady of Color Who Knows About cleaning ladies of color who know about vampire pregnancies, and it was just really offensive. They had to change that, like, real quick.
It might have just been offensively long. Like, that's a very... That's a mouthful of a team name.
Here comes Brett Favre. He's passing to another cleaning ladies of... who knows a lot about vampire lore and pregnancy.
Yep, that's a lot. That takes a lot of time to say.
That's true. So who is your bad werewolf?
My bad is for a movie that we saw together in theaters that we both enjoyed in laughter and yuck-em-ups. It's Van Helsing at the end of the movie Van Helsing. So it's a huge Jackman as Van Helsing. And the guy being like a monsterologist somehow during the course of the film lets himself get bit by a monster. So he's kind of a dope in this film. Or it's just, I don't know, like the worst dramatic irony in cinema. Like, oh no, he is the monster. But he goes to fight Dracula. And at the end of it, he starts to transform. And he starts off by saying like, he says one, and I think it's supposed to be a countdown, but he never gets to two or three, so that's kind of weird. But he's staring at Dracula as he's doing this, and Dracula says, no, this cannot be, which is a really lame as shit thing to say for an immortal who's been alive for centuries. You'd think he'd have something more profound to say. Like, oh no, Prometheus. Like, you can read into shit like that, but he's like, nope, can't deal. Too many spoops. So it's kind of shitty. Anyway, his transformation consists of him just shedding his human skin. I went back and watched this and verified how shitty it is. So yeah, he immediately bulks into CGI. So we're just talking about like two of the best werewolf transformation sequences ever in our good picks, like in Howling and American Werewolf in London. Where it's like their bones are growing inside their skin changes, and they're screaming because of how painful it is. In this one, he's like a snake, like the fastest snake shedding ever, where he just kind of, his skin just drips right off of him. It's like his human skin is kind of psoriasis, and it just flakes off. And he becomes this beefy bipedal werewolf, but he still looks like a very cartoonish, like German shepherd-headed wolf man, which is dumb looking. And then Dracula transforms and becomes this very muscular bat creature guy. And they have what appears to be like a falls count anywhere match where they're just kind of throwing each other and kicking each other. Cause they look like a Dracula Brock Lesnar complete with like the Jimmy John's trunks. And I don't know. There's no real hairy wrestlers, but let's just say Batista. Mm-hmm. It's the two of them like fighting, and he kills Dracula somehow. And then when he transforms back into Van Helsing, even though the moon is still clearly shining, I'm not sure like why he's turning back into a human again, but he's yelling no like fucking Darth Vader in episode 6 or episode 3. And his werewolf skin disintegrates and falls off into dust. So really shitty transformations, looks dumb, unsatisfying, and they just have like a no-holds-barred beat-em-up match, which is the least horrific thing you can think of. yeah, but that shit just falls off. It's dumb, dude. Real shit film. And then it has that weird, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony at the crossroads ending mm-hmm. with the clouds.
Yeah. Where Van Helsing, like, leaves at dawn and Dracula, or Frankenstein, who, spoiler alert, dies during the movie, his face is seen in the clouds, like at the end of that Bone Thugs video.
Yeah. Real shit film.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my bad pick. Do you remember seeing that? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I do. That transformation sucks. It's the kind of thing that, like, if he was turning into a snake creature, like you said, or like a tarantula creature, like a creature where like that happens, where they molt their skin, it would kind of be cool. But werewolves don't really do that. And also, we just watched Howling 4 on Junk Food Dinner, and it kind of has a similar themed transformation where, like, the guy's, like, skin and muscles fall off of his bone, and then they're, like, once he's, like, just a skeleton, then, like, werewolf musculature and skin and fur start forming, and it's kind of the same thing, kind of, but it's, like, all practical and looks kind of sweet. But yeah, that CGI looks pretty bad. There's some real shitty CGI werewolves out there in the world.
No doubt. But what's your ugly, though? For this Good, the Bad, the Ugly segment.
My ugly is Oz from Buffy.
Yeah.
That's
a gross one.
Yeah. I love the Buffy show and everything. But they're really rough when it comes to werewolves. When they first introduced werewolves on the show, they had, like, the first one they showed was, like, this bipedal, you know, pretty cool, like, howling-esque werewolf, but the face, like, didn't move at all. Like, it didn't snarl, it didn't snap, it was just, like, basically a mask, and that was, like, really shitty. And they had that for a few episodes, I think. And then they sort of switched it up, and then Oz became a werewolf that, like, you know, walked on all fours, and wasn't really so much like a werewolf, it was just, like, a hairy dude. Like, you could see his face, it was still Seth Green's face, but, like, with big teeth and, like, contact lenses, and then, like, a big fluffy mane, like a wolf, or, like, a lion, like...
It's a beautiful mane, just glorious hair.
Yeah, like, just beautiful hair everywhere, like, the longest hair, like, one of those real shaggy dogs that you have to shave in the summertime.
He's like a human-sized Pomeranian, mm-hmm. Just, like, weird, stunted face and a lot of hair.
That's the perfect analogy. I also saw something on the internet where they called him... they said that he looked like a really mean version of that, like, weird mutant kid from Land of the Lost.
Yeah, that's also really good, analogy. Not a good thing. That thing is also kind of dumb looking.
Yeah. So ugly, and it makes the werewolf episodes, like, I mean, I like Oz as a character. I think he's cool. All those, like, his story arc's awesome. Like, those episodes are good and everything, but man, it, like, really brings it down that he looks like a mop with teeth.
It's a real bummer. But it's still kind of funny to watch. They should have just stuck with that earlier shit, to be honest. Or really, like, the beautiful hair thing is what creeps me out, because what's cool about werewolves or lycanthropes is that they go through that intense transformation and the body just tries to adjust as much as possible. So, like, you know, I mean, you have a very beautiful beard, but it takes a long time to grow out. Or maybe it doesn't. Like, maybe that's part of your genetics and makeup, is that you can grow a beautiful beard in a week, a day.
Oh, I wish. It takes a while.
Okay. But yeah, that would be more realistic. So when you see, like, a very cool, convincing werewolf, it's like the hair is kind of gnarled. You see patches of skin still. Like, it looks like a freaky combination. And more often you'll get, like, that Lon Chaney thing where it's, like, perfectly coiffed hair that's pulled back. And I think that's kind of why that line exists in that Warren Zevon song at the end of Werewolves of London, where he sees the werewolf ordering a pina colada at Trader Vic's, and he just says his hair was perfect, because it looks stupid. Like, why would this transformation take place and then their hair is, like, perfectly, like, pulled, swooped back, gelled back? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. And to have, like, a ton of hair like that and have it very finely combed is just dumb.
Yeah, it is. And
very common too.
Yeah, when they introduced the girl werewolf, her hair is, like, beautifully combed and shampooed, and it's very, very silly.
It's part of the transformation process. A lot of, like, intense grooming. It's hours, but we just don't see it.
Yeah, a lady from Bo-Rix comes in and just shampoos you while you're transforming and then leaves.
Bo-Rix vampire treatment. Vampire treatment. Fuck everything. I just blew it.
Hey, it's
Bo-Rix werewolf treatment will have you looking shiny and clean. It's dumb. My ugly werewolf is from the movie Werewolf or Werewolf, depending on how you say it, like the main character maybe, from 1996, which was featured on an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and like a year or two after it came out, now I think about it. It was a late era MST3K, but yeah. It's the werewolf who transforms while driving a car. It's a, one of many werewolves in the movie, and it starts off with Joe Estevez, the lesser known of all the Esteveses, and a lot of other people as workmen on this construction site. Like, they're doing a clearing site, but then they stumble, or maybe it's an actual, like, excavation, though I doubt it. I think it is. It's a kind of a dumb movie, so it's hard to discern what's happening. Anyway, let's say an excavation is going on. They're looking for burial grounds or whatever in this sort of, like, maybe it's Southern California somewhere, in the middle of nowhere. And they stumble across what looks like a human skeleton with a wolf skull. And somebody, like, has a fight, and this guy falls onto the skeleton tooth and cuts himself. And because he survived the bite, quote unquote, do you get it? Because it kind of bit him. He becomes a werewolf. And he undergoes a transformation while he's driving his car. So it's like this 3 or 5 minute scene where you see the same, like, Oldsmobile. Like, the camera will follow it as it drives past. It'll, like, you know, pivot and follow it. And it's driving past the same gas station, like, 3 or 4 times as these interstitial shots. And then you just, it cuts back to the guy driving. And he's, like, scratching his face. And he's like, oh, I feel sick. Whoa. And he's scratching his face some more. And he keeps going through the transformation. He's a werewolf. He just becomes a werewolf driving a car. And not, like, a cool werewolf, like Teen Wolf or anything. He's just a dude who's like, oh, I'm really turning into a werewolf and it's scary. And he just keeps driving by the same gas station. And then he loses control of the car and crashes. So it's not like he gets out and he's like, oh, fuck this. I'm too much of a werewolf. I got to run. He's like, no, I better keep driving. And he hits some like explosive cans and dies.
That's sad for him.
It's sad for him because he's having the coolest experience in the world, and then he's also driving a car, and that's kind of dumb. I think they did it because they had enough money to show, like, the hands and face transforming, like, from a distance through a windshield. But it's very funny. Like, it's all the same shot, by the way. It's from, like, the front of the car looking at the driver through the windshield. So it's this real, like, unestablished shot that just keeps reoccurring between these other dumb shots. Yeah. So that particular werewolf from the movie Werewolf.
Sweet. I've seen some, or maybe I saw the whole thing. I've seen some of this. I know at least some of it in the Mystery Science Theater form. I think it's on Netflix right now, so maybe I'll watch it soon.
Yeah, it's fun. The MST3K version is particularly great. It's one of the best of the entire series. So even if you don't like Mystery Science Theater, this is still a fun one to watch. Funny host segments too, like they do goofy bits about werewolves and whatnot. So yeah, do you have any backups that you want to mention for any of these?
Well, I had a backup for my ugly one, which is the Julie Delpy werewolf from American Werewolf in Paris.
Oh, I never saw that.
It's a movie that is, like, definitely terrible, but I kind of like it. It's written by the guys who wrote, Freaked and, like, Saul and the Mole Man and stuff, so.
That's promising.
Yeah, I think that maybe, like, the studio just fucked it up or something, because, like, there's some real, you know, underneath the surface, there's, like, some really funny, smart satire about how shitty Americans are, that I think is, like, very funny. And also, it's got, like, a really super, like, awesome cast, Julie Delpy and, the broad from Billy Madison, or not Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore and Modern Family is in there, and some other cool people. But yeah, the werewolves in that, like, it came out in 96 when CGI sucked the most, and the werewolves like kind of look like, you know, lemurs or something. Like, they're just, like, the worst, and it's all CGI, and it's really ugly and shitty.
Right on. I had another backup for ugly, which wasn't from a particular film. It was actually from an animated series, the Groovy Ghoulies animated series from back in, like, the late 60s. Mm-hmm. I got the success of the Archies cartoon from back then, where it's like, hey, it's the Archies comic, and they have a band, so let's make some dumbass songs. They kind of did that stuff, too, and they had, like, some dopey songs from, like, late 60s kind of pop era. And the werewolf in that one, it was like a common trope to make him like, he's a party animal because he's an animal. And it's like, it was a very reoccurring theme. So I thought that was stupid.
That's understandable. You don't like your werewolves to be stereotyped.
No, not at all. And I feel like the Teen Wolf's movie exploited that stereotype.
That's true. We need to get a segment of Tumblr who will stick up for the not stereotyping of werewolves. They're not all party animals. Some of them just like to chill.
Hashtag not all party animals. Not all werewolves.
Yeah, yeah. Werewolf gate.
Yep. But that's all I got.
Okay. Okay. Let's read one email and then save another one for next week.
Sounds good. Our first email this week comes from, our only email this week comes from Dave S. No one will read. We have two, actually. Titled Pool Farty Radio.
Oh, man. Was he insulting us? He offers us insults?
Yeah, maybe. I guess. He says, hi, guys. Thanks for making me laugh so fucking hard last episode. Oh, you're welcome. Oh, also, I would like to thank Parker for suggesting the podcast Addict app. You remember the Podcast Addict app?
Yeah, that's the app I use to listen to podcasts. It's really good. It's better than iTunes, and it's really good. Really nice. Works really well.
Well, Dave thinks so, too. And it says, it's the first fucking podcast player to actually work on my shitty-ass Android phone. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
My old podcast app would just randomly, out of the blue, start playing super loud death metal from Elcon Radio during my meetings at work. That actually sounds pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
I see no problems with that. says, then the whole meeting would devolve into discussions about whether or not bands should use triggers on their double bass drums or how cricket vocals are super sick. This would get my boss so angry. But those conversations sound so awesome, though. Like, why don't you just have meetings to discuss those particular things?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like this guy's boss is not a werewolf. He doesn't know how to party.
I guess. Well, let's not build a stereotype. Yeah. And he says, oh, yeah, and here is a pick of a drive-through liquor store in Des Moines, Iowa, where I live. I asked my wife if she liked the liquor store, and she replied by farting for 26 seconds straight. I couldn't believe it. Thanks, Dave.
Sounds like a sweet wife.
Yeah, I know. And that's probably why the email was titled Pool Farty Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she was farting while he was writing it.
It all comes back around.
Mm-hmm. The liquor store kind of looks like the car wash from Breaking Bad. It's got this giant top half of the building. Well, it's more than one half. It's like this giant part of the building, I guess you walk up to, or maybe storage or something, but it's all red tiled, and you drive through the bottom part. So this is like, it's a two-story building, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, why did that car wash in Breaking Bad have to be like three stories tall? What was going on up there?
You know, car wash stuff.
I guess you're right.
I mean, I didn't really explore it. That's probably where they kept all those air fresheners, because Walt would constantly be throwing them on the floor and shit out of fits of rage. Like, gotta get some more air fresheners from upstairs.
Yeah.
Walt's having another episode.
We need a big attic so I can throw all my pizzas up there. I'm Walter White. I'm the one who knocks on a pizza door.
Did you know that Walter White threw that pizza on the roof in one take?
I didn't know.
Oh, I thought you'd heard that before. Because that's what I usually hear about that scene. It's like, and he did it in one take, though.
It doesn't seem like it would be that hard to do, really.
Well, it's impressive in how he got it up there, like, out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't, true, like, flip on itself or something. Like, I agree, it's impressive, but people bring it up all the time when they talk about that show. And you don't want to talk about, like, the acting. You don't want to talk about the nuances of Anakin's character. It's like that pizza, though. It landed on the roof. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does seem like now that that show's over, that's, like, the one thing I see about it most on the internet is stuff about that pizza. I see that GIF, like, every day of him throwing the pizza. And, like, that the part where he's like, I got breadsticks. Like, that's the one takeaway from that show? You got breadsticks and pizza?
Yeah. That's all that show is about. Not like meth or trying to survive in the face of death and all that stuff. That's just pizza.
Hey, man, did you ever see The Wire? You see that episode where Omar got some fast food?
You see
yeah,
that?
Yeah, man. That was so deep. I love when he asked for a burger with fries and they gave it to him.
Such good writing.
That's good. I, speaking of TV shows and what people remember in good writing, did you see those tweets from David Lynch and Mark Frost on Friday at the same time?
No, my phone alerted me to let me know that you retweeted one of David Lynch's tweets, though. But is this the one you're talking about? I don't know about this other
guy. Yeah. Well, Mark Frost was the person he collaborated with for his TV work, for David Lynch's TV work, most of that. So Twin Peaks was a collaboration for them. They had another one called, like, On the Air. It was their stab at comedy. It was very weird and surreal, too. I think it was only one season. But maybe just a few episodes. But anyway, Frost and Lynch. And they had a tweet. They both tweeted the same thing on Friday saying, "I've got good news. Your favorite brand of gum is coming back." And it had like a hashtag of like, "This is damn fine coffee." And it's a reference to a scene in Twin Peaks during one of the Black Lodge scenes where that little person who talks backwards, he says that line. And I think it's shortly followed by Laura Palmer saying, "I'll see you again in 25 years. And we're coming up on like the 25th anniversary in about 2 years for Twin Peaks. So they might start shooting stuff soon. This is what people are getting excited about, but I doubt that's going to happen." I think it's just neat that they retweeted some cryptic stuff. They're still cryptic dudes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Sounds good. I don't know. I never watched that show. I watched one episode. So I don't know. I'm not going crazy like everybody is about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll catch up. In 25 years, I'll be excited for this new revival. That's how long it'll take me.
I'll see you in 25 years.
Well, when you see me, it won't be me. Yeah? That guy said that. That's a reference.
Yep.
I learned that from Tumblr.
Excellent. Well, until 25 years from now, people should check us out on Pool Party Radio. PoolPartyRadio.com for all our old episodes. We can find our links to other Podcat Bros shows there. You can comment on episodes and whatnot. You can find us on your favorite podcast supplier also. I'm just going to leave it up to you how you do that. And you can write us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and find us also at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. And you can find episode artwork and hear updates and posts and all that kind of stuff there too. And like us there because that's enjoyable. Oh, also on Twitter, there's @FinalParker and @CumulusFrisbee.
Cumulus. Anthony Cumulus. Cumulus Frisbee.
That'll work.
That Anthony Cumia, he's a piece of shit.
I don't know who that is.
This is a guy from Opie and Anthony. He's a real piece of crap.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's all. He sucks. You're not him. You're not Anthony Cumulus Frisbee. You're not him because you're cool. He sucks.
That's all. I'm good. That's been identified then.
Mm-hmm. I sexually identify as not Anthony Cumulus Frisbee.
Sexually identify?
Mm-hmm. One time, Mark Fredo said that he sexually identified as a surfer, and it was very funny. Go find that episode of Junk Food Dinner. It's a good one.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Me neither, but it's funny.
Oh, one other thing. Did you know that there's no such thing as Saturday morning cartoons anymore?
Oh, yeah. I saw that today.
Yeah. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. That's pretty sad.
Yep.
Is that good?
So have fun, youth of America. Not.
Mm-hmm. You're not getting crap. You're not getting no Ninja Turtles, no Heathcliff. You're not getting those weird farm animals that hung out with Garfield.
Yep.
You're not getting Saved by the Bell. Those guys weren't a cartoon.
They were human cartoons.
Yeah. Good luck living your life. It's going to suck. You're going to not have anything to be nostalgic for in 20 years.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you guys, you pieces of crap.
And thanks for having fun.
Tell me what you gonna do. Can somebody, anybody tell me why? Hey.